This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Ahmad Fuad Rahmat.
I'm Vizla Kumaresan.
And you're listening to Digital Desires, where we explore how technology and screen culture is changing human interaction and human relationships. Today, we have special guests with us today in the studio, Punky Tet, activist, actor, photographer. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So we are going to talk about captivology, the science of capturing people's attention, which is becoming a more prominent feature of our social media consumption, where people build their online personalities around getting likes, followers, and I guess a loyal spectatorship throughout time. And we, as I guess the consumers of these images, become hooked onto their life story, hooked onto their daily routines. And this is creating what people call a parasocial relationship, right? Where it's a one-sided relationship where we are invested in these online personalities and their lives, but they know nothing about us. So it's a whole new murky terrain, and we are here to unpack it for you. Yeah. What comes to mind, Vizla?
Well, we read this article that talks about this very phenomenon. And when they describe it as a parasocial relationship, it really got me thinking. It's a lot like, I mean, as kids, we develop these crushes on celebrities or whatever it is, and mm-hmm. we become really invested in catching up on the gossip and stuff like that. And we are happy for them, and we cry for them when there's something terrible goes on in their lives. And that is pretty much what's happening here, except it's on Instagram, therefore it's a lot more accessible. You don't have to pay money to pick up a gossip magazine. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go online to look for a gossip column or whatever it is. So you are literally being updated, and it's at your fingertips. And so it's a lot easier to become invested in that because it's so close. Mm-hmm.
And it's high volume as well, because you're looking at streams of updates on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. And whereas our previous media consumption at least were broken into separate days, separate episodes, this is almost their stream of consciousness.
Exactly.
Basically.
And that's also like the comparison they made with a soap opera. It's a lot of drama. It's a lot of, something new every day. But like you said, there is no season breaks. Mm-hmm. It's just one long, Bold and the Beautiful, Young and Restless sort of, whatever it is.
Yeah. And just for more context, a lot of the presentation around these people we're fascinated with online, and they don't have to necessarily be Instagram celebrities. They could just be the random person you add. A lot of it is about personal life updates, right? I just broke up with somebody. I just had this for lunch, and we like and we follow. And without thinking, we expect new updates, you know?
Pang, what do you think about this?
I can't say I've followed many people who I don't already know. So the question that comes to my mind, or rather a few questions that come to my mind, is the difference between following a soap opera and following a celebrity magazine talking about the actor, right? Because on one hand, if you're following a soap opera, you expect drama, you expect dirt, you expect failures. You know, you expect to be surprised. But, I mean, I guess there's also some of the expectation when you follow the lives of celebrities. But when you follow a particular celebrity because you like him or her, and a lot of this is moderated and curated already for us, and we like how they look, we like how they are presented to us to a large degree. So I don't know whether we bring both of this together when we follow somebody on social media, right? Whether we are looking for just their happy parts, their beautiful parts, you know, or are we looking for them to fall and mm-hmm. to fail? Mm-hmm. And whether that failure means something to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we want to be entertained at the end of the day, right? And we don't just want one-dimensional sort of feeds, right?
Or maybe we don't know what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but also when I was reading an article, I also see the appeal of observing and watching other people's lives and dramas, because my life is so boring and routine. I'm not that bad. Okay, I do lead a very full and exciting and wonderful life. But yeah, sometimes you wonder, like, oh my God, this is so routine.
or how are other people living
every day.
It?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and after a while,
how are they
I'm
doing
like,
it? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to the same places, meeting the same people, and we talk about the same things. And it's fun. But, you know, sometimes you do have that, you know, that kind of, you know, that kind of sense, right? So when you go online and you see this person who is presenting a certain life that they are living. And, okay, I'm just going to use Kim Kardashian as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Where it seems that every waking moment of her life is drama. And she's very good at updating people and posting it. And, you know, she does it not only on one platform, she does it on multiple platforms. Mm. So it really, you do, if you follow her on all these platforms, you really get like a 360 degree view of her life. So you really feel like you're living her life with her.
I mean, that's the, I guess, the most obvious example. But I think we socialize online with the same assumptions as well. And this is where the platforms are very effective, in the sense that whether we realize it or not, that's the kind of habitat that we're in, where people are uploading stuff about their daily lives. And they've become familiar features of our feed, you know, that we would follow what they do, when they graduated, what they're reading, you know, what they're eating, their favorite restaurants and stuff like that, you know, and they become a feature of what we, you know, what we used to think of as normal interaction, but now it's mediated through these platforms, right? So a lot of the idea that these people are not necessarily are strangers, are not necessarily like, or people we don't know, becomes blurry because we know them, but at the same time we don't, right? Mm. And there is an investment there as well.
But I wonder whether the investment is also aspirational, right? I mean, and of course this is using a very old existing theory of celebritydom, right? That we look to celebrities because we aspire to be them. Mm-hmm. And they have access to wealth, they have access to red carpets and, you know, schmoozing parties and also, there's the famous line that says that rock and roll artists do drugs so that we don't have to, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the idea that we live vicariously through mm-hmm. them. But I don't think it's so much about living, but about dreaming vicariously through them, right? Mm-hmm. So that they offer us this
aspiration of what life could be.
Yes, in a sense, what it could be, but also it allows us not to settle for our meager conditions, mm-hmm. right? In the sense that, oh, well, I can dream through that. Somebody is getting it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, this also gives us pleasure when they fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have access to all those things. And we place a lot of aspirations on these wealthy people. So when they fall, it also gives us pleasure because it reminds us how human they are.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. The line between acquaintance, or I don't know if they're friends. I mean, let's just say if they're on Facebook, they're quote-unquote friends, and entertainment is blurred now. Mm. A lot of these people that we follow, right?
Yes.
In that, okay, celebrities maybe is a more, I guess, how would you say, is a different case. But I'm talking about the more mundane kind of examples where they're people we follow because, you know, they're like a up-and-coming chef or something, or even like person in your circle you don't quite know but other people know and stuff like that, where obviously we are on Facebook to be entertained, but at the same time they're so-called friends as well. So the Venn diagram of entertainment and friendship is becoming blurrier, mm. and that's creating new emotions I don't think we faced, you know.
So instead of thinking of it as based on just about celebrityism and aspiration, we can also look at it through the lens of social capital and how people who are savvy enough to have some social capital and wealth actually then find their access to more social capital multiplied easily, mm-hmm. right? It takes a little bit to give you more access and more access and more access.
Mm.
And that's how Kim Kardashian becomes more Kim Kardashian, you know? In a sense, you will not have that kind of access like her because you were not born into that family. You were not, you don't have that wealth,
of course.
But
and
even our
grooming and all those
right.
things. Yes.
Our friends among us who suddenly call themselves social influencers, they didn't become social influencers suddenly,
yes,
right? I mean,
yes.
they were well positioned. They had some luck. They had some good breaks, breaks lead to other breaks, you know, so...
Yeah, and it requires a bit of savviness, knowing how to capitalize on certain events, incidents, or whatever it is.
And
yeah,
that social capital now is... The social capital, I think, is the new aspiration for us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we are not looking so much for the wealth, but we are looking for the social capital, which is all now marked by how many likes we get.
Mm. And that's a lot of what's presumed in talks about hyperconnectivity. The idea that we can connect to strangers from different worlds, and you know, the way that they frame it, like the building of a global village. But in many ways, you can basically retell that same story in terms of how you acquire more social capital.
Yeah.
You know, linkages with other people and entry points into different discourses, yeah, and circles and, yeah, stuff like that.
That's a really good point. But I want to come back to what Pang said about, you know, that aspiration, and this has become like the standards for what we think our lives should be like.
And also about trickle down social capital,
right? Okay.
Whether that liking and being associated will lend us some access to that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So obviously, lots of interesting sort of issues to unpack, which we will do after we come back from our break. This is Digital Desires on BFM 89.9. This is Visla Kumarisen alongside Fuad Rahmat, our guest today, Mr. Pang Kee Teck. And we are talking about captivology, a new phenomenon, a new social condition where we have become captivated by the lives of others through our social media platforms. Yeah. So one of the things we flagged before the break was talking about how we have used these social media personalities as our new standards for what life should be.
Or how much better life can be.
Or how much better life can be. I mean, I personally know that many people look to some of these so-called social influencers as lifestyle gurus, mm-hmm, for example. I'm questioning the wisdom of doing this because as people who are critical and we're looking at the other side of these social media platforms, we know that whatever goes on there, whether it's a tweet, whether it's a Facebook message, it's an Instagram photo or whatever it is highly curated. I edit my tweets like really, really, like, you know, I think about it so long, and I'm not very good at quickly tweeting something that's intelligent. I have to think about it and edit it and things like that. Oh my God, and then it sounds really funny. And people think I'm a funny person, but I know it's not because it went through a very rigorous process in my head on pieces of paper and things like that. And Instagram photographs, you know, people are looking for the perfect light.
Filters.
And also, there's a lot of product placement. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these personalities are actually paid to give an image of a certain life that they're living because it is meant to sell a product. And we on the other end, who perhaps are just consuming this, don't see those things. Mm-hmm. So then, is this life that we're supposed to live, this person we're supposed to be, how real is it, number one? And number two, is it really attainable? And we're both looking at Pang for his response.
Yeah, you see, for me, right, I don't follow people like that.
Mm.
Or at least I'm not admitting to it on live radio.
Mm.
And maybe I do it subconsciously, I don't know. I also find the converse true, you know, that I am a bit judgmental of these people who call themselves influencers, mm, and the people who follow them. And this also then leads me to notice that there are people who react against that.
Mm.
And reacting against people with social capital is also one way of gaining social,
mm-hmm,
capital.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who use their platform and voice to gain different followers for resisting this kind of narratives. But they are also gaining followers for doing that. So it's very interesting to think of the dynamics of what is going on out there. And I think, therefore, I'm not quite sure whether it's as simple as us just aspiring through these people. Because there's a different level of connectivity that is happening on social media that did not exist when we are just buying a teenage celebrity magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we actually have access to these people.
Yes. And more if it's free.
Yeah. And then there's this whole series of inception that goes on, right? People end up retweeting every time their random posts get liked by one of their the people they follow. Right?
So it's building that accruing the social capital.
The follow
well.
Back
yeah.
mm-hmm.
becomes something as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
that layer to me makes it very interesting.
What becomes of boundaries in this scenario, right? Because a lot of what I read about captivology is basically old-fashioned stalking, right? You're encouraging people to look at every aspect of your daily life, and typically that's what's social media consumption is doing now.
It's permissible. It's assumed that I'm consenting to you following me doing all these things.
Yeah, but that doesn't deny the fact that in effect, right, when we're actually looking at the latest updates, when we are becoming more invested in these characters, right? Granted, they are allowing it, right? But a new type of voyeurism emerges. And what is, for the most part, difficult prior to the emergence of social media has become normalized now, right? So how do we understand boundaries in this given this scenario, you know?
And I suppose we have seen incidents where those boundaries get blurred because, you know, we constantly are reading about and hearing about celebrities whose online fans have turned into real life stalkers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for some people, those boundaries are less understood and less clear. Mm-hmm. And of course, just going by what I've read about these stalkers who have been caught and who've been, you know, tried and all that. These are the few persons whose perhaps ideas of reality is a bit shot.
Right?
They might be a little bit more delusional. They might have a different understanding of these boundaries and things like that. So it's very easy to say these are mentally ill people or these are disturbed people. But yes, I think if you think about it a little deeper, the lines are very easily blurred.
Yeah, in the sense that back then, like you actually had to go to their house, climb on a tree or something like that, you know, to get that voyeuristic thrill. Whereas now you just, you know, switch on. Now it's safer. We have illusions that this is healthier because it's not physical. It's just digital. Therefore, it's not dangerous or it's not harmful, right? So that's a new question that I find as well, because captivology, if it is about sustaining that audience to be constantly fascinated with every minutia of your life, is creating that culture where we are paying attention and magnifying all these different aspects of that person, you know.
I wonder whether part of the appeal, therefore, for people, not so much the followers, but the people who claim to be taking up these positions of influencers, you know, who enjoy sharing all this, is the illusion of control over their narratives, right? I mean, in the past, the studio actually will marry you off and arrange your courtship and your partners and all that, right? To sustain interests, you know?
To create interest in a new film that's coming out,
yes,
or whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have to keep the public interested. But right now, I guess, people can say they have more control over what they put out there. But I'm wondering whether that's the case, whether they really have control or whether they have invited in social narratives that they are unaware of, that, you know, that they're taking part in. They're sustaining a particular idea of what it takes to be influential. So what makes an influencer influential may actually be the same old thing, like access to capital.
Yes, but coming back to Fuad's question about boundaries, and I'm sort of putting myself in the position of the consumer, I think perhaps we don't give enough credit to people's agency, sense of agency, that they can actually draw those boundaries, that they can separate, you know, this is an online thing I do, I don't do this in real life, and perhaps we're not understanding that process well enough. Because I'm just thinking, how come more people aren't, you know, like stalking in real life? Because it's so easy to do with when you're following people online to such deep levels. So obviously something else is happening in consumers. They're not sheep. They are thinking. They are not obsessing. While it might seem otherwise, right, with these terms like captivology, it seems like it's, oh my God, it's a phenomenon, you know, it's a terrible thing. But if we look at it this way, perhaps it's not as bad as we think it is.
But actually, what is interesting about that is also to note how people then end up taking the side of the people they follow in a breakup, right?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
When actual drama unfolds.
That's right. Yeah. And not just breakup, of course. This person will report, I had a fight with this person. And you always and almost always take the side you know, of the person that you're following.
Because you feel like you know them.
Yes, and sometimes you even end up insisting or giving advice to these people, right? As if you're their friend. You know, no, you really love him. You should go back. Or no, he's a...
He's really sorry. He's repenting.
Or he's a jerk, you know. Run away. Why are you doing this to yourself? Stop going back to him. I mean, so there's all that kind of boundaries that are already being crossed there, right? That people assume that they have a stake in your life.
Right. Yeah. So even then, this notion of boundary is being challenged.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's being redefined. And we don't quite know to what end, right? Because at the end of the day, Pang talks about capital. There's a whole infrastructure here that we have no control over.
Yes.
What Facebook ends up putting on your feed, the algorithms they use to link you with that other person or whatever. You know? So
very weird reasoning, like Sheryl Sandberg saying that she's okay with fake news as long as it's been posted by a real person.
What's that logic? Yeah?
I have no idea. Exactly. Right? So we don't even understand the logic that goes behind these things.
Yeah, so it's about who is delivering it rather than the content.
What is being delivered, right? Yeah.
Okay.
And so I guess, of course, all conversations end with Donald Trump, right? I mean, what is very interesting with Donald Trump is his use of social media, the amount of followers he have, but the amount of hate he gets as well, yeah, and the people who tell him, but the way he also feels that he needs to react, he crossed that kind of facade that a president should have, right? Mm-hmm. The kind of objectivity. You think of a president as someone who has less access.
Yes.
You know, he shouldn't be so accessible to the public, but he is making himself very accessible. And I don't know if we have completely figured out the kind of innovation that Donald Trump is doing with regards to his office and social media and being followed.
This is true. But it also tells you that there's another side of it, right? The politics of these platforms itself. Like Donald Trump, it's okay for him to wage war, whatever it is, on Twitter. But as soon as someone like Rose McGowan calls out certain personalities who have been implicated in the sexual harassment of women in Hollywood... her account is barred.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some of the reasoning that Twitter provided for it seems very flimsy.
Oh, I didn't know her
account
was barred.
Because, her account was barred for 12 hours. You know, and by Twitter's logic, a lot of other personalities on Twitter should have had their accounts barred as well, if not completely banned from Twitter.
I think I like that point earlier about... you said we don't know where this is going. And there's something interesting about that phrase in that, do we really want to know? Right? Because there's a reason why Facebook would not allow us to see who's been visiting our page.
Yes.
And imagine if we have that knowledge.
Ah, but you see, there are a lot of other apps that do. If you pay. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about dating apps, hookup apps.
That's true.
And there are layers of, and some of these apps allow you to follow the popular ones as well, right? So someone is marked as hot and popular, so you follow that person, right? And if you pay a certain amount, you get more notified
This, again, comes back to capital, but a different kind of capital.
And then you get access to information about who has visited you and looked at you, and then you can stalk back the people who stalk you, you know, and things like that. And it's very interesting, the kind of innovation that's been created to allow and facilitate this blurring of these boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. It's we talked about this earlier on, where a lot of these platforms they isolate us enough just so that we want to feel more connected. So the reason why they can dangle us with all these other features,
it's about the carrot and a stick.
Yeah, that we can do this, we can follow that person, we can get updates here and there. Is that because they know that they've cornered us enough that we're thirsty, we're looking for that. I'm sorry that that's we're like hungry. Well, we're yearning thirsty, for that. Yeah, we're kind of keen to know more about what's out there. You know, because at the end of the day, we're just behind these screens anyway. You know, we're not really making these tactile human connections, right? Mm. So it's one image for another, it's one spectacle for another.
But we think we do. You see, that's what I mean. Yeah. You know, but we think that this person depends on our likes. We actually. I think we feel that we're contributing to this person's social capital.
And that's, they're personally invested in our in our sort of involvement in their lives as well.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's like that happy birthday thing on Facebook. There's some people I don't know, but I just, you know, it's his birthday. So I'll just say happy birthday. You know, but actually, I've never met that person. But
so that leads me back to the notion I've been thinking about, right? That when Facebook reminds you of your friendiversary, I mean, which it does every now and then,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Pang, you have been friends with Fuad for 4 years. We made a video commemorating this and you can post this to celebrate it, right? But what I think Facebook is actually doing is not to remind you of your friendship, but that your friendship was made possible by Facebook. And so it leads itself back to the medium. It's about the medium. And it's about how the medium makes it possible. So it's always about the brand. It's always about how we need to invest more in this medium to sustain our fantasy of connectivity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we are being played by all these platforms.
Maybe we like to be played.
I think we do like to be played. Because coming back to Fuad, your example of the happy birthday.
Yeah.
And then I become personally invested in Facebook because, you know what? I've had situations where my own family members and friends have actually forgotten my birthday and I've got a random stranger who was reminded on Facebook and they were kind enough to wish me a happy birthday. Here I am going, you know, there we go, Facebook. You're the answer to all my problems.
Oh my God. And I felt, so I just had my birthday, right? And I have a lot of people wish me. And to some degree, I felt like I want to, but I also feel obliged that I need to or respond to some all these wishes, right? Mm. But now that the likes come in many forms, with love, tears, shock, laughter, you feel that if you can, between like and love, you cannot choose the lesser one. You know what I mean? So I felt obliged also to hover my cursor over the thing long enough for the heart to pop out so I can click on it. And that takes twice the amount of time for me to respond to all the birthday wishes. I mean,
Bang, you're complicating a very simple process.
They got to me. That's how they got to me, yeah.
Yeah, life is one long Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, what do we do? What do we do?
Let's end the show
This is what we have. What do we do with it?
Where do we go from here and what do we do?
I guess we can always reflect, right? I mean, I am judgmental of people who do this and people who follow people who do this. But I need to also reflect, why am I judgmental? What is the alternative that I'm thinking of when I myself use this tool, succumb to its pleasures and its illusions as well? Maybe the illusions mean something that I want and I'm missing. And maybe it helps to lubricate my daily existence just so I can keep going. I have to admit that I need it to some degree.
I'm old-fashioned. I think digital days off are very important. Just logging off for a day or two and then going back into the madness afterwards. But knowing that you are going to log off at some point, I think gives good breathers for these sorts of reflections to take place.
I'll get withdrawal symptoms, man.
Yeah, I think that's like what we've been saying on our show, that, you know, social media isn't a replacement for real life interactions. It's supposed to be an extension of real life interactions. And I suppose for me, I would like to, I hope that people are able to reflect on these things, right? You just become so flooded by what you see online and everything. But we have to remember that what we're seeing are just two-dimensional characters. We're seeing what they want us to see. Yes, at some level, obviously, there's some part of our psyche, there's some part of our brains to which this appeals. But that's not all of it, you know. And I think we owe it to ourselves to have rich, fulfilling interactions and relationships. As much work and heartache it might cause, I think there is benefit to that. Mm-hmm. A lot more than what we can do online. Mm-hmm. Not to negate the benefits of online interactions, but there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, it's a different kind of strain, right? Like the pains of disappointments from online hopes and aspirations, or the pain and disappointments of real life interaction, right? Which is more worthwhile in the end of the day. So I go for the latter.
Way.
Yeah.
I will go for the latter as well, but
so
you and I might just be a little strange that
way. That's true. All right. Pang, how can we get in touch with you? People would like to know more about our guests usually.
Don't follow. Not good for you. I agree with Vizla, and I think that people should try to live.
I like the way you said, actually, I agree with Vizla.
Yes, actually. follow Vizla.
You can look us up on Facebook, of course. Just type Digital Desires on BFM at the search page. You'll find our page. Be sure to like it. Or email us at the at biggerpicture@bfm.my.
Yes, we will be back 2 weeks from today. We will be exploring another topic where we'll see how social media platforms, our screens, influences us, ourselves, our lives, our relationships. Till then, I'm Vizla Kumarisen.
I'm Afat Rahmat. Joined this week by Punky Tech, and this is Digital Desires on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.